Dr. J Interviews is a collection of candid conversations with good Black professional men regarding life and career choices. I'm your host, Dr. J McCarthy. Welcome to my show, Mr. Hicks. How you doing today, brother?
Oh, not too bad.
Sounds good. How about you? Not bad, man. Not bad. How's the weather there in Ohio?
It's actually gotten cooler, but today was actually pretty warm. So, you know, Ohio weather, it tends to like fluctuate. So even like in the October, you have like warm days, but then like I remember like last December, we didn't even have like any snow and it was like 50 out. So it'll like really fluctuate. It's getting warm now.
You know, that snow is the reason I moved here. I had to get away from them, those blizzards.
Are you from here?
Yeah, I'm from Dayton and we lived in Columbus for about a decade. And the year before we left, it was a blizzard there. And I was working downtown and I lived on the north side. It took me 3.5 hours to get home. I told my wife, this is the last winter we spend here. I can't do it.
What? How long have you been in Texas?
It's about 13, 14 years now.
You like it down there?
I like some stuff. You know, I miss the people back home. You know, I love the schools here. I love the weather here. And I met some good folks here, too. But I'm a Midwest guy. So, you know, I miss the leaves changing colors and the Goodyear blimp football time, you know, stuff like that.
Why Texas? Like, why there?
Texas, we researched it. You know, we came and visited and it felt good. You know, it was a good vibe there. We have a large family and that was a big part of it. You know, they're very welcoming to big families here. A lot of family oriented stuff. And like I said, the schools are phenomenal. My son in college is excelling. He didn't struggle like I did, you know, so they have some really good schools here. So, yeah, that was the main reason, you know, everything for the kids, man, and haven't regretted it. Haven't regretted it at all.
Yeah, I have two uncles in Texas, and I know one, he's really big on, like, there's, like, a lot of jobs down there, so he really likes it.
It's a lot of wealth down here, and it's interesting to see. I try to get some of my buddies to come down here. We're going to actually talk about that a little bit later. Talk about how we met each other and that good stuff. But let's go ahead and just dive in, man. Tell me, what do you do for a living, man?
I am a software developer, kind of by day. And then by night, I have a media company called Mode_44, where me and a business partner, we kind of grew up together. We went to elementary school and middle school together. We weren't really friends per se up until high school. And then we kind of linked up and I found out what he did. He found out what I did. And we decided, we were like, hey, you know, why don't we just start a company? And nice. So he's into like graphic design. Like his major was multimedia studies. So he's like skilled in like animation and stuff like that. I went to school for computer information systems. So programming and development. So during the day, I work at Nationwide Insurance as like a contractor. And then when I get off work, I'm typically working on like side projects and things related to our business. So
nice. Now, I was going to ask you about that. You said you went for computer science. What degrees are required for that position that you're in?
So I know a lot of people like at major universities, like if you go to like Ohio State or something like that, you'll have a computer science degree is like the biggest thing. I went to DeVry and they didn't have computer science. One thing that's cool about DeVry is that the majors, well, they kind of expedite the college process. Like as soon as you go there, you start working directly in your field. Like you take classes directly for what you want to major in versus like having 2 years of like straight electives and courses unrelated to what you're going to do anyway. So when I got to DeVry, their equivalent was computer information systems. And so I went through like a bunch of classes where there was like for like networking and hardware and then like software development. And I decided to focus in on software development. So if you were to go to DeVry, computer information systems would be the degree. At a lot of other universities, things like computer science are obviously really popular. I know a lot of times like degrees like computer science, they focus a lot more on theory early on. And then they kind of delve more into the actual programming aspect, at least from my understanding.
Okay. So for programmers like yourself, what will be a salary range for that? Intro, I would say, I guess, going in, and then what do you anticipate it could go up to?
So it depends on where you work at. Like I worked at like the state for a little under 10 years. So you have like, you know, obviously like the public and the private sector. With the state, you know, entry level, you could go in starting around like, I'd say like 60,000 60 to 70 maybe. And then the way that they're, you get basically step increases at the state, which is basically for the amount of time that you work at the state, you'll just get raises. So a lot of times they're, your raises aren't based on like production, so to speak, they're more based on like time that you've been there versus at like a private organization or a private sector job where, you know, depending on where you're, the company you're working for, you can command like 80 entry level. Yeah. And I was at the state for a little bit under 10 years and I just moved to like the private sector. Well, not just, I've been with the private sector for about 4 years now.
So this is a two-part question. What do you think, or what is your favorite part about your position that you have right now? And then what's the favorite part about your media company that you do when you get off work?
So it's weird. Like the favorite part about my position now is like the flexibility I have. As a developer, a lot of times when you work at a company, more often than not, you're working on a team. And you're working with like a lot of developers, and then you're working with like business analysts and testers and database administrators and whatnot. And typically you are there to just do like programming related tasks. And then the, you know, you may have like a design team. They're there to like create interfaces for you to program against. At my current position, I'm pretty much the only developer on my team. So, and I actually work in like an infrastructure area. I pretty much have, I want to say like free reign to kind of like experiment with the products that I manage. A lot of times I you know, my previous job, I was a contractor at Grange Insurance and I was strictly a developer, and we had like a design team who their focus was creating like interface related things. And then we had like a testing team whose primary focus was to validate the code that we wrote. And so I pretty much didn't go outside the scope of just programming and development. Here at Nationwide, because I'm the only person on my team, when it comes to all the work that I take on, I kind of have free reign in terms of how I want to do it, which is cool because it allows me to kind of enhance my skills while on the job. So I can experiment with different things because I'm the only one there to say whether, because at the end of the day, I just have to deliver the product, so to speak. Obviously, I have to meet certain standards, but I have kind of free reign to try things out and implement various things. So that's like the coolest thing about my job right now. And it kind of varies because when you're the only person at an organization, it can get tough because you're the only one there. So when things go wrong, you're pretty much the only one that's there to solve it. But there's that range and leeway to try things out. So it's like a give and take. But I would say right now, that's like the coolest thing about my current position. As far as like my media company, you know, the coolest thing is just kind of working on what I want to work on. You know, ideally, in an ideal world, I would be doing my job full time, doing my media company thing full time. But that it takes like a lot of effort and a lot of time, especially like to like, because we make like apps. We started doing like websites and like photography and things like that. And then we migrated to just like apps. And those tend to take like a lot longer to develop than like a website. You know, you can pull up a website. Well, now there's like a bunch of sites that do sites for you, but for like a custom website, you can get that up in like a week or 2 weeks or whatever. But like with like an app or like a game or something like that, it takes like a lot more time. There's like an adventure into like creating like a product that people can consume. So for me, that's like the biggest thing is like, you know, having the leeway to work on exactly what I want. And then when I'm able to put it out, the idea that people can consume it and like really enjoy the product. So
I'm going to tap on that. I'm going to come back to that. I want to ask you one question before, and I'm going to go back to your media company. What is in your development job? What's a typical day for you waking up?
Man, like now it's so different with COVID because now I work from home. So prior to COVID, like, you know, I get to work. I pretty much like go through emails. I'll have like meetings where, again, because I'm the only person. In the development process, you obviously have a product that you have to deliver, but there's a process of gathering information for what that product needs to have and the features that that product needs to bring forth. So I was normally, when I'm in the office, I have meetings to kind of meet with business users and determine what their product needs to have. And then after those meetings, I'll typically go back, update my manager on what I need to do, what needs to be done, and then I'll just go work on it. Now that I'm here at my pretty much at home every day, like the meetings are just a lot fewer. You know, and that's weird because when you work in an office, you find out how much time gets wasted because people are there, people talk and stuff like that. But when you're at home, things typically, they tend to go faster. So for the most part, when I get up, I just kind of get on my laptop and just start coding away. Or if I happen to have a meeting, I'll do that. Like today I had like pretty much like a long meeting, it was like a 5-hour meeting or something like that. But for the most part, it's just kind of like waking up, you know, brush my teeth, you know, doing that kind of thing. And then just getting on my laptop, checking emails, and then kind of responding to things as they come through. So,
you know, that's one of the things. I work in IT too. And one of my gripes has been, you have an 8-hour workday, you have 5 meetings that last an hour or longer. How can you really be productive? You know, I think some of these meetings are rooted in people wanting to talk, you know, people need attention, that social aspect. But you're absolutely correct. I've worked from home and I've noticed that when you work from home, I'm more productive personally. And I work longer hours because I don't have people distracting me, coming to my desk, all these other tasks. So I'll leave my window of work open a little bit longer, even past the allotted time I'm supposed to work. So I understand exactly what you mean by that.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like, because you can, like, working from home, it's nothing for me to just like log on at like 9 p.m. to like knock something out real quick if I think about it, you know what I mean? Like, versus like being in the office, and sometimes things don't come up. And I think that's like a misconception too for like a lot of developers and programmers. I know a lot of times they think you like code like all day, but there's days I haven't like coded anything. And it's really just been meetings like the whole day.
So back to that social media company. Kind of two-part with this one as well. I know that there's an entrepreneurial aspect of that. Can you kind of walk through some of the highs and lows of that? And then the second part of that question, do you find that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know from doing that work, the creative expression that you have, the ability to be creative, motivates you in that realm? Because it sounds like you guys have your hands in a lot of different pots, and it sounds like some really cool stuff that you guys are putting out.
Yeah, and it's multimedia specifically. It's one of those things where, again, when we first started, it was like a thing where we wanted to just like make money. So we were like we were like making websites and, you know, just selling them to clients and stuff like that. But that didn't really bring, like, it wasn't really fun. And then, you know, whether it was like bad marketing or just like bad interfacing on our part with clients, people didn't really have the money that was worth the work we were putting in. So it was like, man, this is like not even fun. Like, one, you know, they don't understand the cost of what it takes to make a website. And then it's just a website at the end of the day. So that's like not even fun, like, make. So once we migrated to like more apps and things like that, that's when it really got exciting, because it's like you can go through and create like a product from nothing. And the product can be whatever you want it to be. And once you put it out for people to like consume, it's like a really great feeling. Like, I remember like our first like actual video game that we put out. We've put out 3 apps. There was a app we put out called the Ninja Clock. And this was like early on with the iPhone. And the premise was, it was like a little gimmick app just to like get our feet wet. But the premise was that you like tap on your phone and it would kind of like, there was like a code that it would vibrate to you, and you could tell the time without having to like look at your phone. So the idea is like, you know, you're in a movie theater, you want to check the time, but you don't want to bring the light out, bring your phone out, blind people, whatever. You tap your phone and it, like, if it vibrates, it's like, it means like 5. And if like it ticks, it means like 1 and stuff like that. We had like a little code or whatever, but it was like a little cool little gimmick app. And so, you know, just like making something and then seeing it in the store, but like, was like really exciting. And then we made a game called Linearis, which was basically like a match 3. So at a point, there was a game called Candy Crush that was like really, really popular at the time. And we had decided to like make a match 3, you know, variant of, you know, those kind of games. And I remember us taking it to schools and colleges and stuff like that. And, you know, kids were like really enjoying the idea of it. So it just like motivated us to keep like creating products, you know? So just the process of being able to like be creative and just pick your own projects and take them as far as you want to, or stop them. You know, I think that's what makes that process really nice.
That's a beautiful thing, man. I love that creative energy. I think this is a good part to kind of pivot and talk about how we met. So back in, I'm aging myself here. Okay. The 90s, I worked with your cousin, we worked at a mortgage company and we worked there together a couple of years. And then we ended up, what happened? We both left that company. We ended up working at another telco company, a startup, and they paid really nice for back then. So I've known him for over 20 years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we were texting or whatever one day and he was like, yo, my cousin started a YouTube channel. Check this video out. Now, you know, your cousin, he sends silly stuff all the time. He always jokes. He jokes with me about it. Like, did you even read what I put? Because sometimes he sends so many, I'll get a chance to. Yeah. But I happened to click on this, and YouTube for me, I use YouTube for informative stuff. So I use it for music and then learning stuff. You know, I always wonder, there's so many brilliant minds out there. I mean, there's a lot of foolishness out there, but a lot of brilliant minds. And brother, I clicked on your video and immediately I was like, I texted him. I was like, wow. I was like, this kid's on to something, man. I mean, and I'm meticulous, you know? So I'm looking at the video and I don't know a lot about that stuff, but I'm like, man, he got a good camera. You know, he speaks well. He teaches well. He presents the material well. So I'm analyzing it from all these angles. I was like, he on to something. I was like, this kid is definitely on to something.
I appreciate that, man.
Hey, it's good stuff, man. And while we're talking about that, I was watching a video, and I think this would be a good segue into your childhood. You were talking about your love for IT, and you brought up, you know, your dad taking you to Micro Center and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So
I think that's a good segue for us to go ahead and to dive into. You talking about your childhood. Tell me a little bit about yourself growing up.
Yeah, I was a, you know, two-parent home, like, really lucky I had my father there every step of the way, my mother there every step of the way. Born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. They pretty much had me in the church like my whole life. So I was fairly grounded. I was blessed to not have like a lot of hardships. You know, the older I've gotten, the more I've realized that my life has been like really good. And it's been, I'm blessed in that sense because I know a lot of people have struggled as a result of just upbringing, environment, lack of resources, lack of guidance, lack of examples. And I was blessed to really have a father who was like there all the time. He worked a lot, but he was there, you know, so it was really useful in terms of helping me stay out of trouble. You know, I didn't really have like a desire to necessarily get into a lot of stuff. I was a fairly quiet guy. And then I have, you know, the things I was a huge basketball fan, still am, but you know, my upbringing, it was pretty smooth. So at the time, I was really interested in, and I wanted to play ball. When I got into high school, I had like two dislocated shoulders and stuff like that. And I was probably not that good anyway. So it was, I probably wasn't going to go anywhere anyway with it. But my father, just being with him and him taking me to work, you know, being able to, you know, be around him and play around with the computers. He'd be at work. I'd be running around that store and stuff like that. I took an interest in the computers and I pretty much kept my grades up when I was in high school. I was always, I mean, that kind of thing. It was a thing where I always felt like making good grades was just going to help. So I didn't really fuss too much about it. It was just like, let me knock this out and kind of get this out the way and let my mom stay off my back about it. So by the time I got to college, I really didn't know what I wanted to, because obviously I wasn't going to play like college ball or anything like that. So it was like, you know, let me try computers. And I kind of just fell into my career. But it was kind of set up where that seed was planted when I was younger, just kind of being with my father. So it was really dope.
That's dope. And for you people that don't know, and I don't know how far, actually, I found one down here. So I thought that Micro Centers were just in the Midwest, but I think there's one here.
Oh, really? Okay.
Describe to people here that might not know what Micro Center is.
Micro Center is basically like all things tech. So you can buy computers, you can buy keyboards, mouse, you know, software. At this point, you know, they sell game related stuff. Back when I was there, it was really just computers and like hardware related things like networking tools, resources, assets, things like that. But now they sell game related items and things like that. So pretty much when I went there, it was computers everywhere and they would have games. And I'd just be there the whole time running around playing different games and stuff like that. So
I love that store. I absolutely used to love that stuff. We were going, actually, your cousin too, man. He was going there and like this aging us again. Man, you got to go to Micro Center. I don't know if you remember when he used to have that side business And he's like, gotta go to Market Center, man. You get a stack of CDs.
Oh, yeah. I bought a lot of games from him. He used to sell us them games. So I
had his little spot in the flea market, you know? So
I remember that. I bought NBA 2K for him early on. That was like the first game I had.
So he would get all his CDs from there, man. And that store was just, if you were into any kind of tech, man, you walking through that store, man, they had, you know, all kinds of the Apple 2E's from back in the day. They had, you know, IBM products. And it was like a smaller Circuit City, you know, before Circuit City.
Yeah, Circuit City. Yeah, I remember that story.
So that's pretty dope. You know, one of the things you said that I really love about your father being in the household, man, and I really think that that's so good for people to hear. Good to see someone thriving as a result of that. You know, you're a walking testimony to that. And brothers need to hear that, especially young brothers that are starting families. You're seeing the end result, man. Highly intelligent guy, entrepreneur, taking care of business. It's a beautiful thing, man. Beautiful thing.
You know, I was going to say, you know, what's cool about it is like, I didn't have like tons, like growing up, I didn't have like tons of like sit downs with my dad. Like he wasn't like sitting me down saying, don't do this, don't do that, or having like long talks about stuff. Like we had those, but a lot of it was just him being there and just like me watching. You know what I mean? I think a lot of times, like the idea of like a father and what he should be to his kids, I think it gets overcomplicated. Like sometimes just the idea of him being around, like I didn't see him like walk out on my mom. So that was something I didn't think to do. You know what I mean? I didn't see him disrespecting her. So he doesn't have to tell me don't disrespect her because I didn't see him do it. You know what I mean? It just, his actions end up speaking louder than anything he probably could have said to me. You know, I can probably count on my hand, like the number of like incidents where I was like, wow, what happened? Or wow, you know, that was like negative. But for the most part, it was like just kind of watching him not do things that he shouldn't have done. And then that helped me avoid or helped me. It helped create a perspective for me to say like, okay, like this is how this is supposed to go. And he didn't really have to tell me. So I think that's like one of the things that I think kind of gets misconstrued about fathers and like just how impactful just when they're there, like literally just there and being around, how much it leaves that impression, you know?
Exactly. I wholeheartedly agree. So my niece, you know, niece come to me for advice or whatnot. And this is the same thing that I'll teach to my daughter when she's of age. She's younger now. We were talking about her before the interview. But men, you know, you always get these people in relationship situations and they're like, well, he told me this, he told me that, and blah, 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 blah. You know, and I always told my niece, it's not about what a man says, it's his actions. What does he do? What does he do? It's almost like, and I gave the analogy of a silent film. You could watch a silent film, those black and white films, and you could pull from that every single thing you need to know without one word being said, you know, just by watching their actions. So that reminded me of that when you were talking about your dad, because I do think his presence, showing him physically how he's treating your mom. Life lessons, man. That it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
So now we're going to get into some perspective questions. All right.
Okay.
So if you could go back and you could talk to the younger Avery, what kind of advice would you give yourself?
If I could go back out, I would say one, be opportunistic. Actually, like take advantage of opportunities. Like, you know, I'm 33 now. I'll be 34 on the 29th of this month. And as I've gotten older, like I remember when we first started our business, me and my business partner, when we were like 25 or something like that. And we could stay up like all night working on stuff, excited about the possibilities of what was to come or whatever, even though nothing ever happened from it. We'd make it happen. It didn't do anything, right? But we were just ultra excited about what could come from it. And I could go to like 2 a.m. and then go to work the next day and get off work and go back to the studio, stay there all night, you know, just super excited. And it's one of those things, like, it's not going to always be like that. Like once I hit like 32, 33, you get sleepy, like just something as simple as like, I need to go to sleep. Like I can't stay up, you know, and it's depending on what your goals are, like what you want to do. Like if you have like a big dream or like a goal, like I think it's a thing. I think it's important to really take advantage of the time you have to really go after it, you know, and really prioritize that because you won't have the same energy. Like your priorities will change, life changes, you get married, you have kids, like that kind of stuff. It changes the dynamic of what you want to do. And when you're not in those situations, because those are great, like kids, wife, all that stuff is great. but there's also has to be an understanding. I've known people who they've had goals and things that require a lot of time. And then I remember them like saying they want to get married and it'll just go the same way. And they'll, you know, they'll just divvy up the time with the baby and with the wife. And it's like, you know, that's going to be difficult because those responsibilities, you know, you serve, you know, your endeavors, you know, so it's one of those things of just being opportunistic. I know my business partner early on when the iPhone had, actually it wasn't even the iPhone at the time. I think it was like the iPod Touch or something like that. But like that first came out. And I remember he was in my basement and he was telling me about apps and stuff like that. And he's like, man, you know, we should try to make an app and this, that, and other. And I was just kind of like blowing him off. Like, man, I don't want to do that. Like I'm kind of at the time I had a girlfriend at the time. I'm like, man, I don't want to da 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 this, that, and other. And next thing you know, like it blew up. And it's just like one of those things of like just being a little bit more cognizant and opportunistic of the possibility. Like, you know, working hard early on, you can get to play hard later. And yeah. So that's one of those things that I'm like, man, if I'd have just buckled down and got a little bit more serious early on, I could have caught that wave before it got super saturated, you know? So that's something I would actually tell myself. It's like, be opportunistic and, you know, take advantage of the wave before it kind of, you don't want to miss it.
You know, it's a long race. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, I mean, we've seen people fall off the tracks left and right.
Sure.
So how'd you stay focused, man? Because you're an intelligent guy. Like I said, you're well-spoken. Beyond this interview, just watching your videos, I could just tell that you have some old soul in you, man. You got the old school wisdom, you know? So how did you stay focused, man, through all that?
Man, I don't really have like a concrete answer. I guess it's just, you know, upbringing is like a big part of it. I think my parents, and again, this is kind of me watching other people's families and other people I was around, like kids and stuff like that. My parents did like a good job of giving me room to like screw up, if you will. But because I had the room, I didn't want to disappoint them either. So I never really pushed it. It was a thing where it was like I had, and I think honestly, you know, everybody's different and everybody's circumstances shape how they act or what they decide to venture into. But mine in particular, I had like a really good example to look at. And so it wasn't worth it to me to risk being a problem to my father or to my mother. Like it was that important, like to just try to do what I needed to do. You know, obviously there's like things you get into and stuff like that, but I never quite pushed it because it's like I thought about them most often, to be honest. Yeah. And for me, it was actually easier. It was like easier to do things more or less like the right way, so to speak. I actually got more benefit. So, you know, it's funny, like I remember when I was a kid, like little simple stuff. My parents were really, they weren't super strict, but they, you know, we didn't get whatever we wanted. But I remember like for grade cards, stuff like that to this day, like every A I got on my grade card, I get a dollar. You know, I'm like, you know, set eight or whatever. And I remember like, you know, getting straight A's and that was like $15 or something like that, whatever. And so it was like, this is great. You know what I mean? Because I could like, you know, I could buy stuff with this.
Yeah.
So I remember early on stuff like that really planted a seed to where it's like, man, like if I do good stuff, like I get money, like I get things I want to get. And it became a thing where that was more important to me than not doing it. Like I wanted the reward more so than doing my own thing that I may not get a reward from. You know, there was a store here that had Toys R Us at the time, was a real big store here in Columbus. And the games, you know, the video games that would come out were like $69.99 or whatever. And, you know, mom would be like, we're not buying those. Da, 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 da. And I'm just like, oh, man. But then, you know, I may do something right in school or whatever, or, you know, have a good year. And they would take me there and get it. And it was just like, man, it just kind of set like a pattern in my head. Like, all right, if I do what I need to do, I can get stuff I want. And at that point, it was like a transaction for me. It was like, you know, I'm going to do this because I like getting things I like. Like I like enjoying stuff. You know what I mean? And I think that was like a big part of it. So I think subconsciously that just kind of like helped me navigate. Like when I went to college, like coming out of high school, at the time I wanted to go to University of Cincinnati. And so like I was huge. I wanted to go. Everybody, not everybody, but tons of people in my class were going there. And at the time, I wanted to go, but my mom and dad didn't want to pay tuition. And my mom, she was working at DeVry, so I would go to DeVry for free if I went to DeVry.
Nice.
And so, no, right. Now, at the time, you're high school, you don't care about that. You just want to go like where your friends go. And I still had like the pipe dream of playing college basketball, being a walk-on, which wasn't going to happen. So I remember like just being heated, like having to stay here in Columbus and not be able to go and have like that traditional college experience and not go with my friends and stuff like that. So once I went to school, the premise of DeVry was like, you can graduate in like 3 years, you know what I mean? Like versus like 5 years at like a traditional or 4 or 5 years at a traditional university. So once I got to school, like just out of sheer, like not wanting to be there for me, it was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to get this over with. So I worked just to get out. It was more or less like that. So it was like, you know, I don't even want to be here. Like, let me just do what I got to do. So I'll be out of it and let's get it over with. And then obviously along the way, you know, because I'm immature at the time, you meet people, you meet friends, stuff like that. It turns out not to be terrible. But then at that point, now I'm like done with school. So I was like, when I graduated college, most of the people in my class still had like 2 years left.
Hold on, and hold up. Graduated college, no debt. You have to throw that in there.
No, right. You know, stuff like that, that you don't think about as like high school. You think about what you want. But my mom, you know, and I remember we went back and forth. And at the end of the day, she's just like, no. And once I got to school, I decided to buckle down just to get it out the way. Because I was like, you know, I'm not going to be at this school any longer than I have to. And hopefully I can make it to Ohio State for the Michigan Ohio State game, be on campus afterwards. So let me just knock the school workout, get it done. And next thing you know it, like I get an internship through DeVry that led to my first job and stuff like that. And I was making good money at 21 while a bunch of people in my class were still in school. So it's just, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things. It just kind of worked out that way. So
I love it, man. I love hearing stories and celebrating when I see brothers doing it, man. That's a beautiful thing and a beautiful family, man. And I know you come from good stock, man, because like I say, your cousin, I mean, his parents been married for 34 some years. So I got some good stuff going through the veins of that family, man. Love it.
Appreciate it.
So second question I ask all the guests, I mentor young people a lot. You know, I'm really big on mind, body, and spirit. So if you were giving some advice to someone, what do you do to strengthen either one or all three of those areas?
I would always recommend for like spirit. As a Christian, I'm heavily involved at church. So I think that keeps me balanced. You know, I think that understanding who God is critical. And so I would recommend everyone to be and to find him and to find a church home. As far as like body, I'm heavily into like working out. I try to play basketball a lot. Well, not a lot. I try to get in the league during the wintertime. That was working out before COVID. Like COVID literally stopped our league. So that sucked. But I try to work out every day. And then as far as like mine, you know, obviously your field kind of dictates how much you have to stay up to date. Like we're obviously your tech. So, you know, things change all the time in our particular field. I would say that I try to like stay up to date with what's going on. One, because I need to remain marketable and available for like the next opportunity. So I would just say to like, keep yourself aware of information, like stay up to date. Like even when it comes to things like politics, like I'm not a huge political person, but I think it's important to know what's going on. Like be aware of the information out there and like have your own mind on it too. Like I won't go deep, but I think it's really important to have your own mind on our society and how things are like, and don't be afraid to be different and not conform to what traditional thought is about stuff. And then also too, like, you know, you can have, you know, multiple minds for like the same topic. It doesn't have to be all left, all right. You know what I mean? Everything on one side of the fence, you don't have to be 100%. Like it could be a thing where you understand or you can empathize with one group's particular viewpoints and another at the same time.
I agree with that, brother. I'm so glad this podcast is going to air while people are voting. Please vote, man. I mean, our ancestors fought so hard just for us to have the right. And I'm with you too. Just because everybody says something research, man. Go to these nonpartisan sites and find the facts for yourself. You know, it's a lot of misinformation. I think a lot of this air gets information from social media. A lot of this stuff is incorrect, you know, and you'd be swayed one way or another. But open your minds, read, digest that stuff, and please make a sound decision and vote, vote, vote. Only way we're going to have some change. Last question I have for you during this conversation. First of all, I just want to really thank you for this, because I know we've been trying to schedule this for the past month. We've both been so busy, but I knew you were a sharp cat, man. You're somebody that really fits the mold of individuals that I want to speak with and
thanks, man.
Have your voice be heard. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you would like to tell young brothers or old brothers alike that's like either seeking a career change or just trying to get into the career path that you are, as far as barriers for men of color, just anything that you can think of?
I would say you have to work. Like I would say it's important not to adopt a victim mentality. And what I mean by that is things have been, traditionally for Black men in the past, things have been made difficult. There have been hurdles. But I think it's important for us to fight through and not to use them as reasons to not put in the effort, put in the work. I know it's tough to hear that sometimes, you know, things aren't level. So like things aren't level, but you need to work harder. It's easy to be like, oh, well, things aren't level. It should be made level. Well, that it's really not how like the world works. Like it's a thing where you have to put in overtime a lot. And I think that it really shows integrity when you understand that sometimes things are imbalanced, but it doesn't really stop you from what you want to do. So you just that would be my thing. Like just put in the work, like really put in the work, put in the effort, and you'll see results from it.
Absolutely. It's a principle, man. It's a spiritual principle. So absolutely. Well, like I said, once again, man, I know it's kind of late. You know, I thank you for carving out some time. I do want to open up a spot for you to go ahead and pub your stuff. And I'm all about Black business, supporting Black business. I'm going to definitely put all this stuff on the website. But can you just tell our listeners, can you give them your websites, how they could find you, YouTube channels, all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah, my YouTube channel is really just Avery Wicks. That's AveryWicks. So I try to publish videos like at least once every 3 weeks. It's not been working out lately, but I'll be back on it. It's hard. It's pretty, I've been pretty busy. That's also my Twitter as well, Avery Wicks. My Twitter handle is AWICKS44. So I'll try to stay up to date with that as well. That's pretty much the social media platforms I utilize most of the time. So you can definitely check me out there.
Okay. And if they need you for any of your media services, should they just inbox you or?
Oh, you can email me at AWICKS at mode-44.com. Again, that's AWICKS at mode-44.com.
All right. Sounds good, man. Like I said, I'm going to put this stuff up on the website. I fully support you, man. I'm behind you. Much love to you and your family. And like, thank you so much, like I said, for carving this time out. And we definitely going to be in touch, man. I might have to seek you for some services, man. Logo. I like it. He got a dope logo. I love that logo. I have an idea for one. So probably reaching out to you for that as well. So.
Okay.
Sounds good, brother. Like I
appreciate
said,
you, man.
Thanks again, man. You be safe out there, man. We'll definitely be in touch, man.
Have a good one, sir.
All right. Take care.
Later.
I hope these authentic stories show different paths to success and provide mentorship. Please be sure to visit us at drjinterviews.com for additional content and social media info. Stay resilient.